The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. It's a great Thursday. We have the Hall of Fame voice, Al McCoy of the Phoenix Suns, on at 10:20 today. I want to do a deep dive with Al. Not talked to him since the season started. Suns win last night at Philadelphia. They play Boston tonight. Just on where the team is and the growth and development of this young team, along with the veterans like Chris Paul. Also want to do a little bit with Al on the difficulties of being a broadcaster where you are not with the team and you're doing it off of the television monitor where you're pulling the curtain back. We will do that with Al McCoy. That comes up at 10:20. Goody is going to be with us because the Oscars, believe it or not, like the Oscars snuck up on me. That's just the way it's been this year with doing everything from home, as all of us have done. And I want to talk to Bill about the Oscars that are this Sunday night. I've not seen many of these movies. And for those of you, we've all been together doing this show for 8-9 years now, or some of you just come on board. I like watching movies. I like reviewing them and all that stuff. I've seen Mank, Nomadland, and The Father. Those are three that have been nominated for Best Picture. There's five other movies I haven't seen. And so is Bill comfortable going back to theaters to see them? All these could be streamed from home. The Oscars are this Sunday night. They're holding it in a train station, of all things, at Union Station in Los Angeles. So I'm going to talk to Bill about that. He's going to zoom in at about 10:35 thereabouts as we talk about the Academy Awards. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I was in here last night, and I was taking in at the same time the Suns, the Diamondbacks, and then eventually got over to the Coyotes. It was great being a Phoenix. I tell people this is the busiest sports market in America that nobody knows about. And the Suns game last night had a little bit of everything. I don't care if Philadelphia didn't have their whole complement of players. I don't care. Joel Embiid was enough for me to watch. He played like an MVP. The people crushing DeAndre Ayton today, saying he should have been able to stop Embiid. Nobody's been able to stop Embiid. Do you know of anybody that's 6'11", built like him? Kevin Durant, yeah, he can do the step back. Embiid is the MVP this year to me, when I watch him play. Like, he came in the fourth quarter. He hadn't done much in the game. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to try to win this game. And he almost, with the last shot of the game, did you see that? It went down and around. That was like us playing pickup basketball as kids. You try that three-quarter shot. You know, we used to do the hook shots, right? We were all doing the length of the court, the baseball pass, the set shot, the over the soccer pass. That play by Embiid last night, if you've not seen that play, it was unbelievable. So they win again, and they play Boston. And I think the question for me is Jay Crowder rolling his ankle last night. That's a guy that I love watching play because he's a grit guy. I don't need 20 and 10 guys to get me excited to watch basketball. I kind of like the guy that goes and gets the 8 boards and the 4 assists and the 5 fouls and plays his butt off and doesn't get all the attention, doesn't get all the love. I loved watching Chris Paul, speaking of all the attention, last night getting into DeAndre. Now, whether he was encouraging DeAndre or jumping him because Embiid was going at him in the fourth quarter, there was a segment in the fourth quarter, if you're watching the game like I was, where there was a camera shot of Paul and Ayton pretty animated coming into a timeout. And then they go to the shot overlooking the bench. And you see DeAndre being very animated. And I think it was Sarge who came over and was patting him on the back. And Chris Paul's talking to him and Monty's talking to him. And it was heated. And I like that. This is a good team. This isn't a team that said, hey, man, I got to get my U-Haul van packed up and ready to go for my postseason run. And so tonight I'm going to watch against Boston. Sunday I'm going to make an appointment viewing in the middle of the day to at least DVR the game against Brooklyn. And Monday night they play the Knicks. I haven't seen anything like this out of a Suns team in 10 years. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch how they play. They're very interesting to watch. The baseball team last night was pretty darn interesting to watch. You know, the Diamondbacks were they had to fight through snow. I like seeing umpires in snow. Like Tuesday night when they're trying to play in the eighth inning and it's rainy, it turns to snow, and the umpire is just like, yeah, we're going to keep playing. and there's snow falling and the game is tied. I'm watching, and then yesterday they are delayed by snow again, and then the sun comes out and the snow goes away. And there's these fans, because we're all desperate to get out to games. There's these fans that are sitting there all bundled up, like really bundled up, watching the Reds and Diamondbacks in April. And they're going back and forth. The Reds have a 3-0 lead, a 3-run home run for the Diamondbacks. They go into extra innings. It was terrific. I need more days like that. And the Coyotes game was not good. They just, Minnesota has their number. All right, on the other side, Al McCoy, Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns, on what he has seen. A little bit of the behind the scenes with the Hall of Fame voice, that is Al McCoy, and then Goody on the Oscars. I'm Brad Sussmad. All right, as promised, the Hall of Fame voice of Phoenix Suns. It is good to catch up with Al McCoy. It is great to hear Al doing Suns games when they are really, really good, because he sounds as good as ever, because he has a great product to call. The Suns tonight are in Boston following a tremendous game last night with a little bit of everything at Philadelphia. How are you, Al?
Well, I'm doing, I guess as well as can be expected, Brad, but it's good. And you hit the nail on the head. It's nice to be calling some winning basketball games.
Yeah. What is it that that you have taken away from all the remote stuff? I'm asking the curtain to be pulled back here a little bit on broadcasting a game while you're in Phoenix, while the team is on the road, and how that has all worked out for you and your crew to get it all on the air.
Well, it's different, but life is different. And I guess we have to accept it. I mean, when I do a game that the team is on the road, we just do a radio broadcast while watching a TV monitor, which isn't a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. When the team is at home at the Suns Arena, downtown Phoenix, we are in a suite high above the floor and pretty much diverse from the game. And, we have no one-on-one contact with players or coaches. So it's a different scenario. As I mentioned, life is different. Broadcasting NBA basketball is certainly different.
Have you been able to, this is just the world we're in, have you been able to talk in person with Chris Paul?
No, I have not. We cannot talk in person with any player or coach.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate for a play-by-play voice, because that's how you get to know those people, as you know, as better than anybody, as a Hall of Fame voice, to not have any contact. I understand that that's how the league has put it down, but has it made working storylines in more difficult for you? Or are you doing the Zooms? Or are you relying on Tim Kempton even more? How's that work, Al?
It's just a lot more difficult. And that's what you miss the most, is you have no direct contact with a player or a coach. Mm-hmm. And so much of the insight that as a longtime Suns broadcaster that I can put into the games is what I derive from being involved with players and coaches. Mm-hmm. And that now is not possible. And it just makes the job a lot tougher for everybody. But as I said, life is different. And we have to realize that, and we have to accept it and go on. I mean, I still enjoy the games, obviously, because this is a team that has certainly done a lot of outstanding things already this season, and it's been fun to broadcast them, no question about it.
The Hall of Fame voice, Al McCoy, with us for a few minutes. The other night, I did something I've not done in many years. I went to the arena as a fan. I went to the game against San Antonio. I picked a bad game to go to see them play well, because they didn't. Yeah. But the arena has changed so much. And I think when fans do come back, they are in for a very pleasant surprise about just how different the arena itself looks. It feels like it's been upgraded tremendously, Al.
Oh, it's great. It's a brand new arena for all practical purposes. And it's fantastic. And they just did an unbelievable job. As I said, the way the team is playing and the great fans that we have here, it's just a shame that they all can't get into that arena and fill it up, because I know they would, and see this team and see the arena. But the arena is terrific. They've done an unbelievable job in the remodeling. It's just like a brand new facility.
Yeah, no, it really is. So on a game night at home, you pull into your parking spot, you go up to this suite, you do the game, you get back in the elevator or back out to your car, and you go home. That's about it now, right?
That's exactly right. And it's, as I said, it's difficult to broadcast these games because so many things happen on the floor that you can't see or you don't have any input on. I mean, many times officials will stop the game and we have no reason. We have no idea why they stopped the game because we're way up off the floor. So it's a guessing game, and you lose the immediacy of being on top of everything. And of course, when we have to do a game off of a TV monitor, that's a whole different scenario. That started when they were in the bubble. I had to do all those games off of a TV monitor. But, you know, again, we have to be pleased that the NBA is still able to have a season. And so far, it's been terrific for this Phoenix Suns team. I'm so impressed, Brad, with the players on this Suns team this year. Because, as you know, to be a success in any sport, there has to be togetherness. The players have to like one another. Mm-hmm. And these guys are really in that category. They like one another. That's the way they play. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played. So I certainly have to congratulate the Suns owner, Robert Sarver, James Jones, the general manager, Monty Williams, who's the perfect coach for this crew, and the players, because they like one another. They love the game. They want to play it the way it's meant to be played, and it's been pretty successful so far.
I remember talking with you the day that Monty was hired. This was before the remodel, and it just felt like, okay, this is finally going to go the right direction. But are you surprised with the number of victories they have this season, and where every night it feels like they should be favored?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You certainly have to congratulate James Jones. He should be a candidate for executive of the year with the changes they made with the players they picked up. I mean, right now the Suns have several players that aren't even getting time that would be playing regular minutes with other teams. So the depth on the Suns team this year is outstanding. And I think that's going to be very beneficial come playoff time. Mm-hmm. And they've had very few injuries and really nothing of any major consequence, which has been a real plus. But I think the fact that the veterans on this team, and I can't say enough about Chris Paul. I've mentioned so many times, I have followed him throughout his career with five other teams. I knew he was an outstanding player. I just didn't know how good that he really is. Mm-hmm. And he's the icing on the cake. He's terrific. And he has made the Suns a better team in just every aspect of the game.
It's funny, and I know there's no right answer to this, Al, but I've had Suns fans that have asked me or sent me notes, best point guard in the history of the Suns. And is it Chris Paul? Is it Kevin Johnson? Is it Jason Kidd? Is it Steve Nash? And my answer is just say yes to all four. Let's not try and split hairs because they're all different in one way, right, shape, or form. But when you've seen so many great point guards in Suns uniforms, what is it about Chris Paul compared to those other three names I mentioned?
Well, the Suns have had some great, great point guards. You can even go back to KJ, Kevin Johnson, and all the ones that you mentioned. And certainly Chris Paul is in that category. He sees the game so well. He understands how the game should be played so well. That is his attribute. Now, he scored a lot of points last night, and he could do that almost any night. He just elects to get other people involved. And he certainly, when you start talking about outstanding point guards with the Suns, he has to be on the list. There's no question about that. He just, as I said, what impresses me about him is just how he sees the floor, how he sees the game, how he knows how to make the team better and what to do in certain situations. He's the best.
I know that television cameras can show one thing. I liked in last night's game when Embiid was going at Ayton every time, and DeAndre was trying his best, but Embiid just looked like an MVP player, in my opinion. I saw Chris Paul get into DeAndre a few times. Now, whether he was encouraging him or getting on his case, I don't know. But I saw that leadership out of Chris Paul looking at a teammate saying, hey, man, you're going through a rough stretch here right now, but we got you, or whatever was being said.
Well, that's true, and I think you see that quite often in games. Chris Paul, obviously, is a veteran. He's been in this league a long, long time. He knows the ins and outs, and he knows how this game needs to be played. And he's like another coach on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I think every player respects him for that and is very receptive to taking comments, criticism, that might it be, from him. Because he's been there, done that, and has great knowledge of how to play this game. And obviously, you know, DeAndre Ayton takes a lot of heat from really the media, and I don't understand it. The young guy goes out and gets a double-double every night. He does have some nights where he scores more, but he certainly is a contributor to the success of this Phoenix Suns team, no question about it.
Yeah, and I think in Ayton's case, you brought this up to me back in December when I had you on last, and you said, you know, Brad, he's still a kid. He's still just figuring it out. And I do think, though, that the success of the team in postseason, you have to have the guard play, obviously, and they have that. But as Ayton goes, Al, do you believe that's how the Suns go here in postseason coming up?
Well, as I mentioned, Brad, I think the big plus is going to be the depth. Look at what Cameron Payne has done. No one even knew who he was. He was in China and in the G League with no contract with any team. But Monty Williams knew about him, knew his potential, and he's just been sensational. The Dario Saric, you can go right down the list. Javon Carter, when the bench comes in, sometimes they do a better job than the starters initially. And I think that's going to be the biggest plus going into the playoffs, is the depth that the Suns have. Now, obviously, you look at individuals, and when you're going against teams that have big centers, and there aren't a lot of them, but when you face those teams, obviously that's going to be a challenge for D.A., for DeAndre Ayton, no question. And they need him at the top of his game.
Yeah, when you look at Gobert and Jokic in postseason, you just start looking ahead a little bit. At least I do. Before I get you out of here, a couple things. Resting players. It's become a thing in the NBA and in sports in general. Whether I like it or don't like it doesn't make really a difference. It's just, do you think that Monty may look at some players and say, let's dial back the minutes here, in particular Chris and Devin, down the stretch now that postseason is going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that the Suns players want to rest. They want to get some minutes. And I know there have been times that Coach Monty was going to take Chris Paul out. He didn't want to come out. He wanted to play. Mm-hmm. He is using him very well with Chris Payne, with the Payne coming off the bench relatively early in the opening quarter. So Payne has been a big plus as he's able to fill that bill. I don't agree with this resting of players. I don't agree. I mean, most recently, a group of general managers came out and saying the reason all these injuries are taking place is because of the schedule. They forget. I mean, when I started broadcasting in the NBA, it was nothing to play three games in a row.
Right.
And the travel was much more difficult than it is today. So I don't buy that at all. Mm-hmm. And we look around and we say, well, these are the best conditioned athletes in the world. I don't know. My philosophy, and you and I have talked about this, is not the schedule. It's the, what the Suns, not the Suns, but all the players do year round. They play too much basketball. Years ago, when the season was over, most NBA players didn't do anything for maybe a month or two. They stayed in reasonable shape. But now it's 12 months a year basketball, overseas, do this, do that. I think that's too much. And I think that's why we're having the injuries that we have. But you certainly can't compare it to the schedule, 40 years ago, when the travel was tough and you played maybe three nights in a row in three different cities. So I don't go along with that. And I don't like the resting of players. And I don't like what San Antonio has done. They started it and the league has kind of rolled along with it, you know. And to fine a team is a joke. You fine a team $25,000, that's like you and I getting a hamburger for a team, you know. Doesn't mean anything.
Well, and the injury to Jay Crowder, and I don't know the extent of it, and they play tonight at Boston. You hope it's nothing major, but I think that's just a basketball injury. I don't think that's anything to do with overuse or And the idea of, look, you're flying private, you're staying in Four Seasons, the Players Union is doing a great job of taking care of their talent. I find that to be pretty laughable, you know. And and I usually do side with players, but in this case, it's like, come on, guys, you know. Before I get you out of here, Al, what is realistic for postseason? I know that you look at it and say, well, winning a championship, Brad, what do you think? But this, again, has been a team that hasn't sniffed it in 10 years. Devin's never been down this path before. The way that the team is structured, I think they're built for postseason. Some teams are built for regular season. I think this team actually has some grit about it. That's what I like. A guy like Crowder is not afraid to get nasty and dirty, and that's going to happen in a seven-game series. So to you as the Hall of Fame voice, when you look at them, are they built to win a title this year, in your opinion?
Well, I think they are. I think they have the competitiveness. I think they have the grit. I think they have the togetherness. I think they have the depth. They're not getting a lot of push from the so-called experts, because the experts are all saying, well, this team doesn't have the playoff experience. Mm-hmm. Well, their leader does, Chris Paul, although he's never won an NBA championship, and I think that's going to push him even further to try and get the Suns in that top spot. I think they are built as well as any team to go, all the way. So many things can happen when the playoffs start. Obviously, the biggest is always staying healthy. The Suns have done that pretty much this year. I think their game is diversified. They can shoot threes. They can take the ball to the hoop. They can play up-tempo. They can slow the game down. And that's the greatest thing that Chris Paul does, is he controls the tempo of the game. Mm-hmm. And he's very, very adept at doing that. But anything that happens from here on out, you'd have to say it's been a great year for the Suns. Yeah. How far can they go? Well, that's why they have playoffs. You just never know, and that's what's going to be exciting to find out.
No, I think what you just said in there is really interesting. They can win a 92-89 playoff game as easily as a 109-108 playoff game. You know, the tempo can be controlled, and some teams cannot win the grinded out 85-84 postseason games. You know, it's
and you know, Brad, one thing that's been encouraging to me, and they've taken a lot of criticism because they build a good lead and then they'll let a team back in that maybe isn't as good as the Suns are. But the thing that's been impressive to me is they never get shook. I mean, they never get into a panic mode. If a team comes back and starts to take a lead, they come right back, they run their plays, they do their thing, and they wind up winning the game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You sound as great as ever. Hall of Fame voice Al McCoy, keep up the great work. Appreciate the time as always, Al. Stay safe.
Brad, thank you. Always great to talk with you.
There's Al McCoy, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, it is coming up this Sunday night, the 93rd Academy Awards, and Goody is with us, Bill Goody Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. You look great. Should we be excited for this Sunday night? It's being held at a train station. There's not a host. We've been watching this stuff remotely. Are we expecting boffo ratings, no ratings? What do you make out of all this?
Expecting no ratings, probably. The train station thing gives me a good idea for a headline, maybe about a train wreck in the in the future. I hope I'm wrong about that. I think that there were some good. You can play for the Diamondbacks. I think there were some really good movies this year, but people just aren't watching award shows right now, and they haven't been for a while. I think maybe that's become more pronounced because of the pandemic. That's probably a pretty good reason for it, but also they just aren't. I mean, no, you know, the Grammy Awards, I think, had the lowest ratings of all time. The Emmy Awards were the lowest in, you know, I don't know, a long time, if not ever. The only thing people still will watch with regularity, it used to be the Super Bowl and the Oscars. People still watch the Super Bowl, but those ratings are down. Now they're shifting a little bit. People are streaming it more often. I think 94 million people watched it this year. That's the biggest audience of anything on TV, but it was down quite a bit. And I think it has to do with the way people watch TV and maybe just what people have been doing in the last year. I don't think the sports thing is a political thing. I don't think the Oscars thing is a political thing. If you ask people, a lot of times I hear from people who say, well, I'm not going to watch because I don't want to see a bunch of leftists force their politics on me when they accept their awards. When's the last time that happened? Michael Moore, during the war or something, you know, I don't remember when it was, 19 or 2004 or something. I mean, people are just looking for excuses, but they're definitely not watching.
Okay, so why a train station? So people may not, I bring this up twice. The show is being hosted at a train station in LA this Sunday night. Why a train station? Do you know?
Yes. The performances, I believe, are still going to be at the Kodak Theater, like the best songs and that kind of thing. And usually they've been really quiet about what the show's going to be like. But some surprise that you'll watch. The train station is Union Station, I think, isn't it, in Los Angeles?
Yes.
It's big. It's really big.
Yep, it is.
And they've hosted other things there, big events. So that allows for more distancing and because of COVID. You can't, I mean, if you're going to do it in a theater, your choices are to either ignore all guidelines and stuff a bunch of people in, or put, you know, a person in every other seat or every other third seat or whatever, which looks weird on camera. And the way this looks is important. I mean, you know, so that doesn't really work. And I think there's also some novelty to it.
Yeah, no, I guess this year, the part about not having a host, I'm fine with that. I just haven't seen many of these movies. I've seen Mank. You and I talked about that. I've seen Nomadland. You and I have talked about that. I've seen The Father. Okay. But if you had to pick one or two that you have to see between now and Sunday for the people out there that just haven't seen it, and then there's some movie theaters opening up, but if they had to go find one that you're like, you've got to see this before Sunday night, which movie would it be? Or is it the three that I mentioned that I've already seen?
Those three are good. I would also say that theaters are opening up, but I believe, and I have here, I'll pitch my own stuff here. We did a sort of a thing with all of my reviews of the nominated films. I believe you can stream everything at this point.
Okay.
Now some of that requires a subscription, but it's not. I would say, I mean, I there's not a dog in the bunch. I mean, my favorite movie of the year was Minari. But I really liked Nomadland, which I believe you liked it, right?
You really
liked Mank.
Yeah, I did. The Father was very uncomfortable because we are in that space right now I'll just pull the curtain back a little bit. We're in that space right now within our family. And so that movie, within 10 minutes, I'm looking at my wife saying, oh boy, this is not going to be good because this is hitting way too close to home. It's about dementia and aging parent and all that.
And with a terrific performance from Anthony Hopkins.
Yes, it was great.
A thing interesting about that film, just briefly, is that typically when we have movies about dementia, it's from the point of view of a family member or someone taking care of the person who is maybe losing their faculties or something. This is more from the point of view of the person who has dementia.
Right.
And it really requires a great performance from Hopkins to pull it off. But it is uncomfortable. I mean, I really liked Judas and the Black Messiah. I thought it was terrific. Some people are kind of split on this, but if you just want an entertaining movie, Aaron Sorkin makes entertaining movies.
Yes,
he does. Because he's a good writer. The Trial of the Chicago 7, I really enjoyed. And Sacha Baron Cohen may get a supporting actor win out of that. I don't know. We'll see.
Goody is with us. Before I get you out of here, and you can check all of Bill's content out at AZ Central. Of course, she's film critic for Gannett with the Academy Awards coming up this Sunday night. Are you comfortable going back to a theater?
Not yet. I will. I'm vaccinated, but I will follow Dr. Fauci's most recent, you know, I'm going to go with the science guy. I don't know. Instead, yeah. Maybe as opposed to the guy that watched, you know, 15 minutes of Tucker Carlson or something. I think I'll go with the guy who's been doing this all of his life. And his thing is, don't go back inside to restaurants yet. Don't go back into theaters where people have to take off their mask and drink and that sort of thing. It's just, we're so close. Let's get all the way across the finish line before we start doing things completely normally again. Although I don't know that anything will be.
All right.
So I got a feeling I'm going to be wearing a mask in the supermarket for a long time.
Well, but to the question being, if they were to go out to see a movie that they have to see in a theater right now, because you know the difference between living room and in a theater, are there any of those? Because there may be people saying, look, I'm ready to go out to a theater. Okay, then if you are, see this movie before Sunday in a big screen.
You know, of all of them, they're all, and as you said, a lot of it, it's, you intimated that a lot haven't seen all of these.
Right.
But they tend to be kind of smaller movies this year that I don't think necessarily cry out for a big screen. I mean, Mank would look great on a big screen, but it's never going to be on the big screen again because it's on Netflix. Yeah. And they're not going to give that up. So, I mean, but I think that now, before people get mad at you when they rush off to see Mank, it isn't black and white. some people don't like that, and but it's beautifully shot. I mean, I think that would look great on like the biggest screen. And I know you always think of action movies and stuff or what you want to see on that. I think that movie would look fantastic on a big screen.
No, I agree with you on that. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. You look great. Stay safe. Glad you're vaccinated.
You.
I got two in me too, so we're all good. So there is Goody, and we're back with more after this time out.